Tonight, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter number 1. We'll do something a little different than normally. This coming Sunday and the next 4 or 5 Sunday, I don't know how many services it will be, I'm going to start a series on some things about the cross. And so tonight I'm going to just sort of give an introduction to that. And I'll restate some of those things this coming Sunday. There's so many things in the introduction that we're going to make a short message on that. And then Sunday morning we'll start the series. And I love to do series. Helps you to learn, helps you to remember, and the things that are good for us. And so tonight, I want us to read in the book of Galatians, chapter number 1. We'll begin in verse 1, read down through verse number 4. And then we'll notice some things in the book of Matthew and other places tonight. In Galatians, chapter 1, verse 1, says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Tonight I want us to just notice some things about the purpose of the cross. And as I said, it'll be sort of an introduction to what we're going to begin on Sunday morning. And go back, if you would, to the book of Matthew. And we'll read a verse of Scripture, a couple of verses here. In Matthew chapter number 27. And we'll read verse number 50 and 51. And notice in Galatians we read that Jesus gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us. In Matthew's Gospel, he gives us some of the details of the Lord giving Himself, of the Lord offering Himself as a sacrifice. And the Bible says in verse number 50, Jesus, when He had cried again, with a loud voice yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. In these next few weeks, on Sunday morning, we're going to be dealing with some of the things that took place or some of the things that happened when Jesus died. And during that crucifixion hours and those hours there that He hung on the cross, as He was there on what we know as the Day of Atonement, He was given Himself as a ransom for those that would believe upon Him. On that great Day of Atonement, the high priest would slay the sacrifice. He would sprinkle the blood on everything in the tabernacle, the blood, the mercy seat, and there the atonement was made for the individuals and for the people of Israel. The blood over the mercy seat meant atonement for sin. It meant that sin had been pushed forward for another period of time, and they would have to do this again another year at another day of atonement. The blood over the broken law where the mercy seat rested meant that the demands of the justice for the law that had been broken had been satisfied by the shedding of blood. No wonder the Scripture tells us it's by the shedding of blood that we have redemption or remission of sin. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no redemption. And so in all the types and the shadows of the Old Testament, they all pointed to where we have here in Matthew, where Jesus cried with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost. He is freely offering Himself as that sacrifice. Now we can come into the presence of God and we can do that in peace because the blood has been shed. And so tonight, sort of as an introduction to what we're going to be dealing with these next few weeks in our Sunday morning services, I wanted to bring us some thoughts here on the purpose of the cross, or why the cross. A lot of ways a person can die. A lot of ways a person can leave this world. But the Lord chose by the giving of the cross and going to the cross that Jesus would die and shed His blood for mankind. And so there is a purpose in that. And when He died on the cross, He opened up a new and living way. That next verse there that we read in verse number 51 says, "Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." There was a new way opened up. There was a way of access to God when that took place. And so we'll be dealing with those things that happened when Jesus was hanging on the cross of Calvary, and the renting in twain, the curtain, and the rocks did rent, and they were broken asunder, they were torn apart, and we're going to be noticing some other things that were rent there when Jesus was up on the cross of Calvary, some of the things that Jesus took away and that we have given to us. But tonight we're going to just sort of, as an introductory message to that, we're going to be dealing with the purpose of the cross. And if you would turn over to the book of Titus, chapter number 2 and verse number 14, we're going to find here, first of all, that the purpose of the cross was to redeem us from all iniquity. Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 14. I believe the best way you have a message is to back it up by Scripture. And so tonight, every one of these things that we'll be dealing with, we have the words of the Lord before us and helps us to understand. And verse 13 says of Titus 2, says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." So here we find number one purpose that we deal with upon this, that we are to look to the Lord for that blessed hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore He came the first time and He gave Himself for us that all iniquity might be taken away. The Scripture says here that He redeemed us, or He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, a particular people, a people that had been bought by the precious blood of the Lord. And so I want us to think, first of all, that Jesus came to redeem us from iniquity. Not just some iniquity, but the Scripture is very clear and says that He redeems us from all iniquity. From what we would classify the smallest of sins unto what we would classify the largest of sin, God the Son died upon the cross of Calvary to redeem us from all iniquity. Now, we categorize sin. Well, that's just a little sin, but God just says it's sin. We say, well, that's not too significant, but God says it's sin that is significant. Or we might say, well, that's a terrible, hideous thing that that person did. What a great sin he committed. But God just simply says it's all sin. We've all come short of the glory of the Lord. And so whether we call it small or insignificant, or whether we recognize it's something tragic and something bad, God just says it's sin. But thank the Lord tonight, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ redeems us from all iniquity, small and large. It would be the smallest of sins that would keep us out of heaven. For we are sinners. We are lawbreakers. And when they would have to go to on the Day of Atonement there, the high priest, as he would sacrifice that lamb, and as he would sprinkle the blood on all the things there of the tabernacle, the mercy seat, and the other places there in the tabernacle, it all represented that Israel was a sinning nation. From the smallest to the largest, from the most insignificant thing to the largest thing, Israel as a nation was a sinful nation. Now that Day of Atonement, the high priest goes and sprinkles the blood, and all that points to one day when the blood would be shed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we find in Titus chapter 2 that He came and gave Himself that He might redeem us from all the iniquity, and then to purify. Iniquity includes the condition of the heart. You see, a lot of the sins that we commit are sins that nobody else sees but us. It is sins of our mind. It is sins that are not maybe action sins. It is sins that we meditate upon, and the things that we think about, and the evil thoughts that come through our mind, that sometimes it seems as though we're just bombarded. And And it's just simply because we are still in the flesh, and our flesh has not been redeemed yet, and so therefore we struggle, we fight continually between the flesh and the spirit. And Jesus came to redeem us from all iniquity. The condition of our heart, sin, is a transgression of the law. And then as we think upon things, we will finally commit those things, and they become open to us and open to others. And Christ redeemed us from all that. Thank God for that. Thank the Lord tonight that our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. We may not know what we'll do tomorrow, but you can be rest assured that God knows what we'll do tomorrow. We may not know what next year may hold for us, but God knows what next year holds, and God knows what I'll do and what I'll say, because He's God. He's the sovereign. And so therefore, when Jesus died, He died for all my sins. And I thank the Lord for that. There's not one that has been left undone. When I trusted the Lord, He forgave me of my sins, and He saved my soul, and He gives to us a new nature. And that new nature fights continually. And so one of the purposes of the cross, one of the purposes of Jesus dying, was to redeem us from iniquity, to buy us out of sin and out of the place of sin, and to redeem us and put us on a solid rock and establish our going. The psalmist says, put a new song in our heart, even praise unto our God. And so these things are given to us as Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary. I'm glad tonight my sins have been forgiven. My deeds are before everyone, but God knows my heart and God knows my sins. And therefore, when Jesus died, the Bible says He made an atonement or a propitiation for the sins of the whole world. He died for the sins of mankind, and therefore we can have life, have regeneration, have new of heart, newness of life. Because Jesus died for my sin. He took my place. He was the substitute. He was that ram that was caught in the thicket there on Mount Moriah. He was that one that that took the place of Isaac. And Jesus is that one that took the place of you and I that day. And so we have been saved tonight. And the purpose of our Lord going to Calvary was not just to set up something new or to do something different. The purpose, one of the reasons that Jesus went to the cross was that He was to redeem us, save us from our iniquities. For it's our iniquities, the Bible says, that separates us from God. It is our sins that put a barrier between us and God in our prayer time. It is our sins that put a wall between us and the blessings of the Lord. And Jesus died for those sins. He opened up that way as the veil of the temple was torn asunder, and as the veil was rent in twain, or just simply opened up, that new and living way was opened that we might have complete access to God. Up to that time, nobody could go behind the veil except the high priest. Nobody had seen the work of the atonement. Nobody had seen the sprinkling of the blood. Nobody had watched the high priest do that because he was behind the veil. He was in that holy of holies. Then no one could go in there, not even him, but once a year. And there he sprinkled the blood, and it's a picture and a type of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Thank God tonight He redeems us from our iniquities. Now turn over, if you would, to the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, chapter number 3, tells us another reason of the cross of Calvary, or the purpose of the cross. In 1 Peter, chapter number 3, and verse number 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Now notice the next statement. That He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now, the first thing, He came to redeem us from iniquity. The second thing we read here tonight is that He came that He might bring us to God. Now, there's no use of our sins being forgiven if He doesn't bring us to God. If He doesn't present us to His Father. And so, first of all, our sins have been forgiven. And now here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Another purpose of the cross is that He might bring us to God. He brings us to God not as criminals. Thank God we have been forgiven, but as blood-washed sons and daughters in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we have been forgiven. Our sins have been washed away by the precious blood of the Lord. And now He brings us to God. And He doesn't bring us to the Lord condemned. We're condemned already, the Scripture tells us in John chapter 3. He doesn't bring us to God as ready to die. The Lord presents us to His Father as redeemed. He presents us to Him, to His Father, as one that has taken and applied the blood to the heart, and the blood of the sprinkling has been upon us, and He gives us and He presents us as a blood-washed individual for the Lord Jesus Christ. And He brings us to a proper knowledge of God. He brings us to a point that we understand that we have God as our Father, and He brings us into favor with God. Now God smiles. You see, upon the cross of Calvary, and we'll be dealing with some of these things, upon the cross of Calvary, Jesus was there hanging, and the Bible says that He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" And I personally really do believe, I've heard a lot of different things, but I believe He was forsaken of God because God looked upon His Son as a sinner. Our sin was placed upon Him. He became sin, that He that knew no sin, that we might know the righteousness of God. We would never be righteous in our own self, and we could never be righteous unless first He was made unrighteous. And first the sin debt was paid by Him. And first the sins of the world were laid upon Him. And so when we trust Him and our sins are forgiven, He brings us to God. And He brings us as a redeemed individual, has a right relationship, has a proper knowledge of God. We come to learn by the knowledge and grace of the Lord that we are growing in His grace. And He brings us to God the Father. What a great relationship we have. We are taken out of the kingdom of darkness and we've been placed in the kingdom of light. We've been placed in the kingdom of His Son. And we've been placed in that kingdom where we're one day going, as Brother Roark preached the other night, we're going to that kingdom that's above. And we're there because one day we trusted Him. One day He died for us and we came in a process of time to believe upon Him and trust Him. And now He presents us to God as His child, as God's child, that He might bring us to God. What's the purpose of the cross? Not only to redeem us from our sins, but to present us to God. That we are, the Bible says that we are co-laborers together. The Scripture says that we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're heirs of God, co-equal, and we have the blessings of the Lord because of our salvation that has been given. And He presents us to His Father as one of His children. And we'll never become a God. We are not that. We do not believe that, but we are the children of God. And it's because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, taking our sins away and God receiving us and Jesus bringing us to God, that we might have favor with the Lord. So there's two purposes, two things. That He might redeem us from iniquity, and that He might present us to God. Now turn to Galatians again, chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, "And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Now, when everything was just right, we have that song that says Jesus is on time, always on time. Well, He came on time. Everything He did was on time, was on purpose, and wasn't any accidents. And so Paul, as he writes to these churches of Galatia, he said that when the fullness of time was come, when time was full, when time was right, when time was ready, God sent forth His Son. And He tells us here how He came, made of a woman. He wasn't made of a man, He's made of a woman. And we believe in the virgin birth, and Paul identifies that right here in Galatians chapter 4. Sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now, why did He come? What's the purpose? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He came and died upon the cross of Calvary, not to just redeem us from iniquity, not to just bring us to God, but now He puts us in a right relationship with God. These are the steps that happens simultaneously almost. We have now that we've been brought into a sonship relationship with the God of heaven. We're familiar with adoption, that a man and a woman will go out and and adopt or to bring into their home a child that is not naturally their child, not natural born into their family, but they go out and they adopt that child and put them in their family. And what a wonderful thing that is, and what a wonderful thing that the Scripture says that we have been adopted. You see, we were not wanted by the world, and we had nothing worthwhile, but thank God He loved us, that the Lord died, and He presents us to God, and we are adopted into His family, and we're co-heirs with the Lord. We're equal with the Lord, co-equal with Him in those blessings that will come to us. By nature, an adopted child has no claim or rights until they're adopted. But when they're adopted, they have all the rights, and sometimes even more rights than a birth child. And I'm glad tonight I can tell you we have all the rights that God has put in this book for His children. We were outside His fold, we were outside His grace, but He loved us, and He came to where we were, and He put us into His family, and Jesus died on the cross to present us unto God, to do that and to bring us into a sonship relationship with the God of heaven. By nature, I had no claim on God until He came to me. By nature, I had nothing in common with the Lord. By nature, I had nothing to do with God. I had no understanding of God. I didn't know anything about His family. Oh, but one day He came. One day He put us into the family of the Lord, and we are there as an adopted child, and we have those things given to us. And the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2 and verse number 12, says that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thank God tonight the purpose of Jesus dying was to bring us into sonship, into a relationship with God. We have no claim on God. We can't say, well, that belongs to me. Not until we put it in His family. Thank God we've been placed in His family. If we're saved, we're in His family. The Scripture talks about the family of God. And that family of God includes everybody that's been saved. It can be in Grace Baptist Church, or it can be in some other church. It can be in America. It can be in another country. If we've been saved, if they've been saved, and by the way, everybody gets saved the same way. There's no this way and that way. There's only one way, and that's Jesus. And so when we're placed into His family, we're adopted, birthed into His family. See, there's a lot of aspects of coming into relationship with the Lord. The Bible calls it a new birth, then it calls it an adoption. One's a legal term, and adopted, we have been placed there, and we have all the claims that the Scripture says that we have rights unto. But before that, we had no right. Before that, we have nothing. And when adopted, we become the heir of God, joint heirs with Christ, according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 through 17. So the purpose of the cross is, number one, to redeem us, save us, redeem us from all iniquity. And then the Lord brings us to God. And God puts us into relationship with Himself. We're heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And then fourthly and lastly, the purpose of the cross, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. That's that verse we read first there in Galatians chapter 1. It says, grace be unto, verse 3 said, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and of our Father. So we're saved. Our sins have been forgiven. We've been brought to God. We're in relationship with Him. And now the purpose of the cross, fourthly, is that He might deliver us from this present evil world. I'm glad tonight I have been delivered. My sins are gone. I've been delivered. I'm glad that I am being delivered daily. Oh, but one day I'm going to be delivered. I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to be taken out of this present evil world. And buddy, it's a present world. It's an evil world. And we see it all around us. We see the effects of sin around us. We see the effects of ungodliness all everywhere. But we have been redeemed. And the purpose of the cross is that one day He's going to deliver us from this world. And He's going to put us in a new world. He's going to put us in a great place. It's called heaven. As long as we're in this body, we're going to be subject to temptations and hardships of a hostile world. Oh, but one day, that's all going to drop off. One day, that's going to be things that are former things. The hostility and the sinful things and the temptations and the hardships and the difficulties and the death and the disease and the affliction, all those things are going to be gone for us because we've been delivered. Our sins have been forgiven. We've been brought unto God. We've been made to be a child of the King. We're not just adopted into any family. We're a child of the King. And we've been placed there by the power of God. And one day, He loves us so much, that He's going to deliver us. We've been delivered spiritually. And one of these days, we're going to be delivered physically. And this old flesh is going to give way to victory. And we're going to have life eternal. So the purpose of the cross, and we're going to look at some things of what took place on the cross of Calvary. Some things that were rent. Some things that were torn asunder. Some things that were done away with because of the blessed day Jesus died there on that day where He gave Himself a ransom and where He redeemed us and presented us unto God the Father. And we're awaiting the leaving and the rapture of this from this world unto His world. So I pray that the Lord will bless these next six messages, ever how many there is, that we'll be looking into the purpose of the cross and how that the Lord has separated us from certain things because of His grace. And I pray the Lord will bless the reading of His Word tonight and the message. All right, let's...